Friday, July the 10th marks the International Quds Day, commemorated around the world by millions of people who support the Palestinian cause. It's marked on the last Friday of the holy month of Ramadan, as designated by Ayatollah Ruhollah Khomeini, the late founder of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This year's International Quds Day comes right after the first anniversary of Israel's devastating summer war in Gaza, dubbed Operation Protective Edge. In the course of 1 year, mass arrests have taken place in the West Bank. The blockade on Gaza remains in place. Illegal settlement construction continues on Palestinian land, and Israel still hasn't been held accountable for its war crimes. In this edition of the debate, we discuss the significance of this year's International Quds Day and the plight of the Palestinians.
The International Quds Day was announced in 1979 by the late founder of Iran's Islamic Republic, Imam Khomeini. In a historic move, Imam Khomeini called our world community to take to the streets on the last Friday of the Muslims' holy month of Ramadan to voice their anger at the policies of Israel and demand liberation of the oppressed Palestinian nation. This year, Quds Day coincides with the anniversary of Israel's 50-day war on the Gaza Strip, which killed some 2,200 Palestinians and left more than 11,000 wounded. Palestinian children accounted for over a quarter of those killed and over one-third of the injured. International organizations engaged in the assessment of the post-war reconstruction say it will take 20 years for the Palestinians to recover from the deep scars of a devastation caused by the Israeli onslaught.
Brutality and calculated brutality with which they launched the attack against Gaza last year, which I remind people is most definitely a war crime. That has opened the world's eyes to what Israeli apartheid is really all about.
Meanwhile, the United Nations has asked Tel Aviv to end its, quote, inexcusable siege on the Gaza Strip. The UN relief agency UNRWA says the blockade has been posing a crippling effect on Gaza and hindering reconstruction efforts there. Last week, the UN Human Rights Council adopted a resolution condemning Israel for targeting civilians in the Gaza Strip during the last summer offensive. Though non-binding, the document is expected to mount pressure on Israel over the deadly offensive and further complicate its case before the International Criminal Court. The Palestinians are seeking to hold Israel accountable for its war crimes before the Hague-based court, which the Palestinian Authority officially joined on 1st of April. Some believe the Palestinians' lawsuit against Israel at the International Criminal Court may not bear any fruit, given the ICC's long record of failing to target Western countries and their affiliates, and of course the unconditional support for Tel Aviv from its traditional guardian, Washington. But disturbing images from Israeli wars against Palestinians in Gaza have also given rise to popular moves to boycott Tel Aviv. Among them is the Boycott, Divestment and Sanctions campaign, which encourages universities, churches and other institutions to divest from Israel until the fundamental rights of the Palestinians have been recognized.
Yes, movement at this point in time is irreversible. It is where it was against the South African apartheid regime when it was irreversible and political classes everywhere had to face that reality, and they are beginning to face that reality, even in the West now.
The sentiment, however, is expected to erupt once again on the annual International Quds Day, when Palestinians and millions of people across the globe will seize the opportunity to condemn Israeli crimes and occupation. The streets will once again fill with demonstrators, renewing their pledge to support for the oppressed people of Palestine and to vent their anger at Israel and its crimes.
Let me start off by introducing our guests. Joining us from London is former U.S. Marine Ken O'Keefe. And joining us from Washington is the president of the Middle East Research Center, Richard Hellman. Gentlemen, thank you very much for joining us here in this edition of the debate. Mr. O'Keefe, I'll start off with you, if I may. How significant is it, in your opinion, to have a day each year designated to bring the Palestinian cause and plight to the fore?
Well, it's certainly important. We're not doing enough around the world to really express our solidarity with the people of Palestine. Although there is much effort and many good people and organizations, we still haven't done nearly as much as we could do. We see that there is another effort to take boats to Gaza directly, And while I applaud these efforts, I'm still wondering when we as people are going to send a trade mission, which has to happen at some point, because the only way the Palestinians are going to be able to really stand on their own two feet and live a dignified life is to get off of the aid dependency, which has very much been thrust upon them. And we see right now with the situation in Sinai and Egypt, and of course with Israel, that virtually nothing can get in by land. So the sea route becomes more and more important. But more important than more and more aid is trade and the freedom of movement that is necessary for the Palestinians to live a dignified life. I'm hoping at some point that a European-based company will indeed endeavor to do what I tried to do with Aloha Palestine and send a trade mission to Gaza. And we must open up that port and begin the process of trade so that the people of Palestine and Gaza in particular can rebuild their homes, their factories, rebuild their lives, develop their economy, and get back on their own two feet. This is the day that I'm really longing for, and this will open the door to a bigger, broader justice for Palestine, which is going to come.
Well, hopefully that is one of the aims of a day like International Quds Day, to open up Gaza, to free the land of Palestine. Mr. Halman, I put the same question to you as far as the significance of Al-Quds Day.
Well, first I have to agree with your expatriate American there in London, I guess he is, that we ought to stop U.S. foreign aid to the PLO, to Hamas, to Islamic Jihad and ISIS and the others who are causing terror, hatred and war against Israel in the West, based out of Gaza and still firing rockets at Israel and other neighbors. So I agree, we should stop that foreign aid. But the Gaza Strip had risen to almost to the status of a developed country in its economy from 1967. Through 1989, when a study was done for the United Nations that showed that the people of Gaza were living better than the people of Egypt and Jordan and the other Arab countries, thanks to their association with Israel. Now, this whole Al-Quds Day nonsense is an illegal, immoral, and thankfully ineffectual way of delegitimizing and condemning Israel. And that's the basic problem, one of the basic reasons why the U.S. and the P5 plus one shouldn't agree to whatever's on the table in Europe today regarding nuclear weapons of Iran, because Iran continues to call for the elimination of Israel. And this Al-Quds Day is part of this perfidious campaign for these, 36 years of delegitimizing the only free, stable democracy with a free enterprise system in the Middle East and one of the few reliable allies that America has in the world. So I am here talking about your subject, but we should be talking about what the Iran regime is doing to sponsor hatred, terrorism, and war from Lebanon to Baghdad to Yemen and beyond. And that's what the real threat to peace and security in the Middle East is, not Israel. And Israel is attempting to provide aid to Gaza, but the concrete that goes in is used for tunnels for terrorists to attack Israel in future. We saw this on a recent study mission there 2 weeks ago. Israel still is at threat from Gaza, from missiles through the air, but thankfully their anti-missile system has been effective, but also through terror tunnels. And that's why Israel, while they provide everything that Gaza needs in terms of food and other supplies and housing supplies and medical supplies, and people from Gaza can even come from Gaza to visit.
Hamas,
they can come from Gaza to hospitals in the United States.
Israel. Mr. Halman, please, let me put this question to Mr. O'Keefe so that he can respond. What would you say, Mr. O'Keefe? Are the Palestinians better off under Israel?
That they can come from Gaza to hospitals
in
Israel.
Well, of course, we know the answer to that question. If I could address a couple of mischaracterizations, I did not suggest that all aid should be cut off. However, we must understand, and this is a very important subject, that aid actually is a means of infiltration and subversion. U.S. aid is a perfect example of this. It's a CIA front for all intents and purposes, and it's used to undermine genuine democracy and to create an environment in which the U.S. can make sure its puppets are in place and ultimately extract the resources. You're such a rude man. I don't interrupt you, but you're going to do the same game again, aren't you?
Oh, please,
Keith. You also tried to convolute ISIS and Al-Qaeda with Hezbollah and Hamas. This is beyond ridiculous. The actual entities that are fighting ISIS, this latest creation of the West through its proxies, Saudi Arabia and Qatar, which are the ones sending floods of money to these psychopaths, the actual people fighting them on the ground are, let's take a look. Saudi Arabia is the funder, Qatar is the funder. It's Syria that is fighting ISIS and Al-Qaeda in Syria. It's Hezbollah that's fighting ISIS and Al-Qaeda in Syria as well. Hamas has been the declared enemy of ISIS now, apparently. And it's Iran also supporting the legitimate fight against ISIS, whereas the United States continues to do multi-billion dollar defense contracts with Saudi Arabia, the latest one being $60 billion for those nice head chopper medieval Islam, fake Islam psychopaths over in Saudi Arabia, while they're now slaughtering the poorest country in the Middle East, the people of that country. This is our bedfellows, Saudi Arabia and Qatar. They're the major funders of ISIS and Al-Qaeda, have been for decades. And ultimately, the only ones really fighting them are, in fact, the ones that we're fighting, which is Iran, Hezbollah, Hamas, and
so on. All
right,
I don't want to get off topic over here. Mr. O'Keefe, let me just jump in here, and I would like to you to answer this. Are Palestinians better off under Israeli governance?
Absolutely not. Of course not. The Israeli government does not see the Palestinians as humans, and when we look at the inner core of power within Israel, especially the Talmudic influence,
ridiculous,
which essentially declares, and you go ahead and say whatever you want, you know damn well that inside of Israel, one of the prevailing attitudes is very much determined by the Talmud, and in the Talmud, by the way, Jesus Christ is boiling in hot excrement in hell, and Mary is nothing but a whore, according to many within Israel who adopt this Talmudic way of thinking. So they don't even see the Palestinians as human. And in fact, they find Jesus Christ disgusting, who was, by the way, a Palestinian.
Go ahead, Mr. Hellman.
Oh, please. Please, that's, I can't believe this expatriate American, whatever he's doing in London. I don't know what he's reading or what he's smoking, but in fact, only in Israel are the rights and privileges of every minority, including minority Muslims, Druze, Circassians, Bedouins, Baha'is, and all types of Christians, all their rights are perfectly protected, and they have equal citizenship, and they are judges and members of the Knesset, Israel's parliament, and more. I lived there for 7 years as a member of a small segment of non-denominational Christians, and all my rights were protected. I even got to vote for the mayor of Jerusalem, and 20 years later they sent us letters to come vote again. So this is democracy. I could stand up and say anything I wanted to. I could say the prime minister of Israel was this or that, and I wouldn't be killed or arrested or my children beaten or thrown out of school. You can't say that about very many places in the Middle East. But I want to agree with Mr. Keith, in closing, that indeed the United States should be much more proactive in protecting the internationally recognized human rights of all persons, especially minorities in the Middle East, Christians, Yazidis, Kurds, and more.
Mr. Hellman,
and in fact, the United States should be going to the Security Council.
Seem to disagree with you.
No, I know the Ethiopians in Israel, and the good part of the recent upsurge in demonstrations about equal rights for Ethiopians is that they do not suffer any negative consequences by parading and demonstrating. And in fact, the prime minister and all the ministers of the government are committed to give full and complete political, economic, and social rights to
well,
the Ethiopians,
the
just as Americans
peacefully.
Are
Mr.
so committed
O'Keefe, this is not
to
what we
give
see
those, to make sure those rights are,
Berlin,
to make sure those rights are, to make sure those rights come to American blacks and
they?
Native Americans and others. That, in fact.
Well, obviously, I can't hear your question. This man doesn't know how to stop. He just
what's
carries
the,
on.
What's the
so
question?
Could you repeat the question for me, please?
What
well,
is the question?
Mr. Hellman spoke
what
of...
What is the question?
Mr. Hellman spoke
question?
Of Israel allowing peaceful protests on its streets. However, when we see Nil'in or Bil'in, Mr. O'Keefe, that's not what happens when Palestinians come out on a weekly basis to protest against the illegal separation barrier that Israel is building on Palestinian land.
I've been involved in protests that were nonviolent in Gaza and also in the West Bank. We see on a weekly basis in Berlin and other places inside of the West Bank that innocent people who may be wielding a stone against the fourth largest military in the world being shot dead with live ammunition. We see people being hit in the head with gas canisters, sometimes being killed that way as well. We see, I've seen myself, people being shot literally within 50 meters of me who had no weapons whatsoever and were simply venting their frustration at this many decades long oppression and occupation. So, and even if you were able to protest, this is not the be-all end-all. You're able to protest in England as well, in America, but we see no real democracy in either one of these nations either. So let's not call the ability to protest, which is largely nothing
ridiculous.
But a social outlet, a venting process to make people feel like, oh, I did something. I'm not a huge fan of protests at all, especially not one-day protests, which is more about a social gathering and making one feel better about themselves. So getting back to your initial question, we have not done enough to express our genuine love and brotherhood with our Palestinian brothers and sisters, and when we get really serious, we will accelerate the process of actually effecting justice in Palestine.
Well, I see you have a response there, Mr. Hellman. Go ahead.
Yes, the Palestinian Arabs whom I know tell me that they were better off, I say better off, under Israeli administration. And today, the measure of peace, security, economic development, educational advancement, and other advantages that they enjoy to a far greater degree than the nations and peoples surrounding them all around, that is due to the influence of the Israel government and the Israel authorities. And I think you have to admit that Israel's government is freely elected. The government of the PLO, or Palestinian Authority, if you will, and the government of Hamas has not been elected by anyone for many years. So they are thugs, dictators who have claimed their right to rule those peoples, but they have no legitimacy. And you cannot protest against them or else you lose your head or your livelihood or you're imprisoned without trial. So let's compare apples and apples. Israel has a free, independent judiciary, which in fact has decided cases about the fence, has relocated the fence where it hurt people, and even has decided in some cases that olive trees that were chopped down of the Palestinian Arabs were done so illegally, and they have instituted recompense. They have stopped such activities and have provided recompense to the Palestinian Arab farmers
okay,
who
Mr.
lost
O'Keefe,
their olive trees along
what would
the
you
road.
Say to that?
The
Mr.
fence
Hellman
was
there
created
draws a picture of Palestine.
To end terrorism from the Arab areas,
Mr.
and it
Hellman,
has been effective. There
have
been no
time.
Big bombings in the middle of Jerusalem
there.
Like
Let
there were before the
Mr.
fence.
O'Keefe. Mr. O'Keefe, Mr. Hellman,
yes,
there paints
okay,
a picture
thank you.
Of
yes,
the Israeli
indeed,
regime
please.
That is extremely just and extremely forthcoming. Is that how you see it, specifically when you look at the Palestinians who live under the Israeli regime, or as Israeli Arabs, as Mr. Hellman has called them, they live as second-class citizens, if at all?
I really feel that I'm actually playing right into the hands of a man who has nothing but lies pouring forth from his mouth. I won't disagree with the fact that the sellouts within Palestinian society, as every nation has their sellouts, will be doing okay. And those would be precisely the type of people that you would mix with,
yes,
who you would use to,
yes,
cite just how wonderful life is for the Palestinians in Israel, the occupied territories in Gaza. I feel a bit like I'm endorsing his insanity, but I will respond with the obvious facts, such as in Gaza, you have about 1.9 million people. They've been under a brutal blockade, which is a collective punishment policy, plain and simple. The people there also are comprised, over 50% of them are children. So we're looking at about 950,000 children who 1 year ago were dealing with an incessant bombardment that destroyed thousands of buildings and homes, that was pure terrorism. If this gentleman had his children, three-year-old, four-year-old children or grandchildren, or any other sensible person in the West had to be made to endure those types of conditions where clean drinking water is not readily available, a ready supply of food is not available, building materials is not available,
not
based
true.
On the bogus excuse that it's all being used
not
for
true.
Tunnels. This is all
not
ever
true.
Present in the occupied territories and in Gaza in particular. In the West Bank, sadly, we have a PA, which I have to say is playing the enforcement role, the security service role for the Israelis, and this is really quite shameful. At the end of the day, the Palestinians are making many mistakes, and some of them are selling out their brothers and sisters, and they do have to face this fact. But ultimately, they are facing an overwhelmingly powerful enemy who is supported by virtually all of the Western governments. Make a distinction, however, between the governments and the people, because the people around the world overwhelmingly see the truth despite the ridiculous lies that are spouted by, like, by gentlemen such as this man in the States.
Okay, I'm afraid we have run out of time. I'd like to thank both the participants here, former U.S. Marine Ken O'Keefe, who was joining us from London, and from Washington, President of Middle East Research Center, Richard Hellman. Add to our viewers, of course, for me and the entire team here in Tehran, it's goodbye.